Your glory will fill the earth like water the seas.
True nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Yes. Okay. That means in diversity, what I'm saying, that God is a God of diversity. And in diversity, God expects us to be one. And so, and that is the idea that gave birth to JCCF, Joint Christian Campus Fellowship. That as believers, as a body of Christ, we can actually come together and stand as one body. Praise the Lord. And there is strength in unity. There is strength if we are one voice. You see, the problem we have in this nation, that we say, okay, if the Christians can come up with one voice, can be as one, stand as one person. You see, there is no government, there is nobody. When they say, okay, they want to do Islamic agenda, they want to do a lot of things that, even bad governance. If you look at the volume, the multitude of Christians that we have, if we stand as one voice, this nation will shake. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? If you stand as one voice, that's why Jesus said that when he say he's doing miracle by the prince of Beelzebub. He said what? He said no kingdom divided against itself can stand. In unity there is strength. You remember that when Jesus was going, he prayed a prayer in John 17. Praise the Lord. And that chapter, that is one chapter that revealed the depth. There is no chapter, I can quote me anywhere, in the Bible that reduces the heart, the depth of God's heart, like John chapter 17, when that prayer that Jesus prayed before he left. Jesus literally brought out the heart of the Father. He prayed for unity, that his people will be one. In that same John 17, he prayed for love. You know, in that same John 17, he said that God, that just like he and the Father, they are one. That God should make us one, not amongst ourselves, but make us one in God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. That God can share his divine nature. That is, you know, the Godhead. That, you know, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Literally, Jesus was literally praying that God should bring us into the Godhead in a measure. That they should be one in us. So I won't have time, so because that's not what I'm talking. I'll be talking to you on solid, laying a solid foundation. But I just want to like stir us, you know, to believe in this cause. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To believe in this cause. I know that, is it all of you? This not. I know this cannot be all of you. How many are you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This 9 now. Eh? 9/20, that's not a good number at all. So please, you are leaders. Please try to, you need to encourage, you know, this kind of meeting, this is not a lecture, or this is not something we can force people, but, you know, we can talk to ourselves. Are you hearing me? There are people in your fellowship that ought to be here. Talk to them. Encourage them, you know, like that. So please, so that you can come for meetings like this. God honor this type of meeting. God honors what you do in your local assembly, your local fellowship. But when you come together as one, you know, yes, there is a big added measure of strength to that meeting. Praise the Lord. So some things we do here might look ordinary. As if there is nothing, you know, just one of those meetings. Praise the Lord. It's not like that. God honors it. Praise the Lord. So please, let's encourage others to come for meetings like that in your fellowship. Talk to them. There is strength when we stand as one body. Amen.
Amen.
So like I said, I'll be talking to you on laying a solid foundation. How many of us can see the foundation of this building? Can you see it? Eh? But you can see the building. You cannot see the foundation. Okay. Man is made up of three things: the spirit, the soul, and what? The spirit, the soul, and the body. Can you see the spirit? Can you see the soul? That is the foundation. That is praise the Lord. So when you talk about foundation, I've just established something very key and critical, and I'm going to be using it to talk to us. Jesus gave an example of a parable. Let's read it in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Yes, don't worry, I'll read it. Matthew 7:24. He said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended this saying, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Our Father, we thank you this morning. Our Father, we bless you. We honor you for this meeting. We thank you because we have asked you to have preeminence in this meeting. And even so, we know it is done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, our Father. Bless us today. Enrich our lives. Enrich our hearts. For the journey is yet remaineth. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name. Now, from this scripture I read to you now, you could see that how do you lay foundation in your lives? See, Christianity, thank you, all of you have title and position in your fellowship. I've been there before. You know, when I was a student, I had a post, I had a fellowship, but after school, life continues. That's number one. Life continues. Then two, even while in school, you have a lot of responsibility. It's not just about getting a job done. In Christianity, what was delivered to us? What was handed down to us? Do you know it? When you say, when Jesus was working with the disciples, what was it that he gave them? So that by the time you finish your own leadership terrain, tenor, and you are going to be leaving, it's not that you are passing the baton that, okay, I'm handing over the reign of power. It's not political power. Praise the Lord. It's not political power. It's transfer, it's communication. Amen. You are communicating that which is on the inside. He said, God told, I'll come to Jesus, but let me give you from Moses, you understand it better. He said, I'll take from the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and I'll put it upon who? I'll put it upon Joshua. So it was not that Moses had done his own job leading the Israelites. Now he's going, and then this is Joshua, I'll continue the job. There were things in Moses that God took and put it in the life of Joshua. And that is that biologically, when you give birth to a child, the child resembles you, true or false? He said that it's resembling the father or it's resembling the mother, because there are things in the father or in the parents that is taken and put into the child. That's why if you are arguing that is it my son, is it my daughter, they do a DNA test. In the DNA test will reveal who is the parent of the child. So, amen. So that DNA, that transfer, what we transfer is life. I want you to note it down. You transfer life. Amen.
Amen.
That's why when they give birth biologically, you see the parent, they transfer life. You know, you transfer the depth of God that you have known. You know, what you have touched, the things you have handled in God. Those are the things you transfer, you communicate. If you read John chapter 1, it says that which you have, First John chapter 1. Let me read it for you. The book of First John. Look at it. These were the apostles now. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and declare to you, what we are declaring to you is that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. That word declare is a transfer. You know, we communicate it to you. We deposit it into your life. We declare to you that you also may have fellowship with the Father. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So Christianity, amen, our Christian faith. So if you yourself, you don't know God, if you yourself, you don't walk with God, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not. Enoch encountered, Enoch touched God. Praise the Lord. So if you have not encountered God, if you have not touched God, if your prayer life is not life, is not active, you know, as a prayer man, coordinator, as a Bible study coordinator, you know your devotional life. If it's not strong enough, so what are we going to transfer? What are we going to be teaching? Teaching is not just teaching, carrying the Bible. Okay, this topic now, you have a manual. No. You know, beyond the manual. As you are opening the manual, as you are teaching them, there is what we call redemptive power. That power does not come from the manual. The power of redemption comes from your life. That's why somebody will speak, the word does not have any meaning. And that person will speak. You see, that word has life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One person speaks. That's another. One man prays. Nothing happens in the prayer. Another man comes and he prays using the same word, but something happened. Do you know where the power is coming from? What did Ephesians tell us? According to him that is able to do exceeding abundant above that which you can what? Ask or think. According to what? Where is the power working? The power is working from the inside. We have this illusion. This illusion, you know, in Christianity that maybe the power will be jumping down from as you are praying. Eh? You know, then once the power jumps down from heaven. You remember what did Peter say? Peter and John. Oh, that man at the gate, beautiful. What did they tell him? What did he now say? He said, what we have, we give it to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. He said, what we have, we give you. Praise the Lord. So these are men that they have encountered the power of God. These are people that have tasted the good word of the Lord. These are people that have encountered the power of the age to come. And you can encounter it at your own level. That's what I'm saying. But first of all, you must be very, very serious. It starts from your life. Amen. I will come to specific details how, you know, just tell you some briefly how you can lay a very strong foundation in your life. But I want you to give you a general picture of the assignment that we have. It's not noise. It's not generating activity without results. That's why at the end of the day, if they are going to mark your paper, they want to see, maybe they give you an exam now, you write 10 pages. Are they going to score because you've written 10 pages? They are going to look at the substance. Maybe they ask you what is agriculture. Let me use that word example. I don't know the courses you do. Let's say one of your courses is agriculture. They ask you agriculture, you have now written 10 pages. Man, this brother has written 10 pages. Is that what they are going to judge? You know, they are going to look at the content, the substance of what you have written. That's what I'm saying. It's not generating activities, you know, it's not noise. It's what you have inside of you. Praise the Lord. You know, so Christianity is a one-on-one relationship with your Father. That's why they ask Jesus, teach us to pray, say, our Father who is in heaven. That word, that statement he used, you know, Father, you know who a Father is? Is your lecturer your Father? Eh? Your pastor is he your Father? Your Father is your Father because you have a unique relationship with him. Yes. You have a unique and a definite relationship with him. That relationship is different from every other relationship in this world. When you say our Father who is in heaven, praise the Lord. If God is our Father, then that relationship ought to be unique. You know? We need to create time for it. If I ask us now that, I know you guys are, I love you. You just came into leadership. You are young in leadership. In the ask of you, how many of us have consistently you have 1 hour devotional life to pray. That's where it begins from. You must. You can't be a prayer coordinator, not only for prayer coordinator, choir leader, or any type of post, even ordinary member like my brother. Your devotional life. See, this is not just about your FECA and GCCF and Unification Fellowship, Anglican Student Fellowship, Celestia, and Baptist. And no, it's beyond that. Yes. You may even go to where there's no CAC. Yes. You may go to where there's no even Baptist. Your life is going to stop. Is it going to end? Is it going to stop there? No. You see, life is like a river. A river that starts from time and flows into eternity. Yes. You know, so life continues. Praise the Lord. So when you lay very solid ground for your life, number one, you are helping yourself. Praise the Lord. Then number two, you are helping people around you. Then number three, you are now building the responsibility that is committed to your hand. Maybe your fellowship or every other, you know, level of commitment or assignment that you have. But number one is your life. This is your life. When Moses told them, God said, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to make you a people. But when Moses gave them the instruction, he said, what I am telling you, it is your life. That is the beginning point of it. He said, it is your life. He said, I lay before you life and death. So before talking about building a nation called Israel, before talking about a nationhood, before talking about the land flowing with milk and honey, but what I am telling you is your life. Praise the Lord. So that's from what we read in John 17. And I'll come there. Let me say this. I started by this, what was it that Jesus transferred to the disciples? You know? Yes. He gave them his spirit, right? Apart from his spirit, you know. You see his level of let me say his walk with God. I want to break it down. The depth of the things he has encountered and touched in God. You see, the life he had acquired, apart from the Holy Spirit, the life he had acquired, he has been able to acquire in God, he was able to impart it into them. That's why, after Jesus left, did they struggle with obedience? Those men were struggling to obey. Huh? Even Peter said, as at the time Jesus was going, he was still denying it before a servant lady. But the day Jesus left, the same Peter who stood before the whole council, he said, this same Jesus that you have killed, God has made him Lord and Christ. A servant girl, now Peter was shivering. The next moment, after Jesus had gone, he stood before the whole council. They put him inside prison. He came out with all boldness. They were now amazed at his boldness. They now remember that he had been with Christ. Not only that, what they had been with Christ, not just that they were being in Christ, Christ has been transferred. The Christ we were relating with now has... He's no longer there, but he has been transferred and deposited into the lives of these people. That means he had been with the Messiah. So there was something that happened. What Jesus from his life, as he was living, Jesus was living his life, earth, the life he acquired on earth, that Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, he did not take it to heaven. He imparted and deposited into their life. And that's what has been transferred from generation to generation. That dimension of God he encountered, he made it possible for us to enter into it. It's like opening the doorway. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. Yes. It's not like your father has been in business. After he has finished the business, he's the MD of the company. As he's going now, can he take the company away? You just step into what your father has done and you now begin to build from there. Amen. So this was the thing that were deposited and transferred to the apostle. You see, obedience, love, all of those things is because of the volume of work that Jesus had done inside of them. You know, and he imparted his life to them. Just like Moses and Joshua. So the same responsibility you have, that one day a lady walked up, I was talking to a lady, you know, this was some times back, Mela had just left school, I was preparing to go for NYC then, so she told me she was struggling with her prayer life, everything, so I now spoke with her. When I spoke with her, the following day I saw her, she was so excited, you know, she said she has spent 9 hours, she has prayed for 9 hours. That it is 5 hours to in prayer and 4 hours to study. Either 4 hours to study or 5 hours to pray. I don't know how the combination, but it's for 9 hours. You know, I was not surprised. Amen. Amen. Because that was the life I was living. Because I was even doing more than that. You know. So that's why I say that you can talk to somebody about prayer. It's not about I can come to the pulpit and start teaching you about prayer. You know, I'm not a man of prayer. I've just given you information in the head. But somebody has come, this man lives in the realm of prayer. As he's teaching you about prayer, he's imparting into you the spirit to pray. You just leave that place, you are feeling drowsy, but you see yourself praying. You know, you see yourself praying. You know, you see yourself, you just see that you just enter into it. Praise the Lord. How many of us know the cases of, let me give you, even if they can do it in a natural, somebody has Ebola, he touches you, what happened to you? What happened to the person he touched? He carried Ebola. We are not talking about the spirit of God. You know, we are talking about the life of God, which is much more contagious. You know, somebody has maybe this, they say tuberculosis is transferable, right? He just cough, you carry the cough. How about the deposit of God that you have inside of you? Amen. Jacob was dying. He said, come, let me tell you what will be at your latter day. He just spoke into their life. And that was what happened. He said, Judah is a law giver. You know, and the law will come between his knees. Out of Judah came the what? Came Christ. So he came and he gave them that. He was about to die. He gathered his children. He just spoke to them. He spoke their destiny to them. Praise the Lord. And his firstborn Reuben slept with his wife. He said, Reuben, you will not excel. It took Moses to come again. When Moses was now blessing them in Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 32 or 33, he took Moses to now cry to God and reverse that order, that let Reuben leave. Because his father said he will not excel. So that tribe was about to be wiped out of Israel. So he took Moses that had entered into God and carried the dimension and the depth of God to reverse that hand. He just spoke their destiny to them. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So in the course of, that's why somebody comes, talks to you about studying the word. You just leave there, it's God that you are so serious about studying the Bible. You are so serious about your devotional. You know why? Because of what that person carries on the inside. So this is what we transfer in a fellowship, in a community of believers. We transfer, we share life. A man and a woman have sex. What comes out is a live baby. Sex. Amen. That is a physical union. They say he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So if you have a relationship with God, you say you are one spirit with God. So what comes out of that union is spirit. He said that which is flesh gives birth to flesh. And that which is spirit gives what to what? Gives birth to spirit. The Bible says he that is joined to a wife or a husband, they are what? One flesh. That's why they give birth to a flesh. They give birth to a baby, a physical baby. But say he that is joined to a Lord is a spiritual union. So they give birth to spiritual babies. So if I'm joined to God and have a life with God, so what my life will produce as spiritual children, spiritual babies, in the context that people that come to me will encounter spirit. They will encounter the spirit of God. They will encounter life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, but it begins with you. So I'm trying to show you the destination, the ultimate end. Then I'll now tell you the process, how to get in there. Praise the Lord. It begins with little things. So when I was a student with like you, I don't joke with my personal devotional life. Amen. Because I say after school is gone, I say this my certificate will remain paper. And it will remain paper until God breathes life into it. Are you hearing me? I hope you remember Genesis 2. God put dust together. He breathed into dust, and that dust became what? A living soul. Your certificate here, and you are living here, they are going to give you paper. Is it money? Is it a job? Is it marriage? They are going to give you a paper. And that paper, as you are, it remains a paper you are carrying about. Until God breathes life, breathes life into that paper, then that your certificate can be productive. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So that paper can now be productive and now can produce things. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I left high school in Amadu Bello University area, so when I left, they gave me a paper. But God has breathed life into that paper. Amen. Amen. God breathed life into that paper, you know, and have profited so much from it. So that is why you must build your life with God. So because I know that once you carry fire, your fellowship will carry fire. JCCF will also be ignited with fire. But it starts with you having the fire. You may not be the president of your fellowship. Once you have fire, the whole fellowship will catch fire. Yes. Fire begets fire. Abby? Yes. Fire begets fire. If you carry fire now, maybe a dry air, all these places that are doing dry season, you put one fire, maybe one small leaf. Abby? Is it the head of the leaves? Is it the head leaf? It's not the head, but just that leaf. Put it there. Everybody will catch fire. That's the law of fire. So you need to be ignited with God. You need to be alive. You need to be alive. Wake up. Praise the Lord. This is a wake up call I'm telling us. Start getting, you see this is your Bible. I'm going to give you an assignment in JCC here. And I trust God that you will do it, you know. If you don't do that, some of you here I can flog. At least I can flog your president, you know. So I'm going to give you an assignment. You see, by the time you do your, there should be something you transfer. By the time you do your set of leadership is going to last for how long? 1 year. So I'm going to give you an assignment. So when you are going to hand over power, when you are going to hand over your responsibility, authority, so it's something you are going to, I'll tell you when I finish what I'm saying. So it's part of the things you are going to hand over. You, praise the Lord. And I'll show you from the Bible. So, the foundation now, I told us that that parable that Jesus gave, let me come to it now. I want to tell you about the process, how you can lay foundation. So that what I'm saying will not be too big. That, when am I going to attain this thing? It begins with the little things. Now, he said, he that hears these sayings, he that hears it and do it, is a man that lays his foundation, that built his house on the rock. How you lay, how a Christian lay foundation in his life is by doing what the Bible says. Simple. If you want to know how to lay foundation, it's by doing what the Bible says. Please underline it. Put it asterisk. If you want to circle it, circle it. Just doing the things that the Word of God tells you. This is how you lay foundation in your life. So, what did the Bible say about prayer? So, let me hear now. So, we are going to go into the aspect of it now. What did it say about prayer? So, you are going to start praying. Yes. So, the Bible has told us, did the Bible say we should not pray? The Bible said we should pray. And how did it say we should pray? That means we should always pray. We should always pray. Pray, men ought to pray, not to faint. Simple. So I'm not bringing any big revelation from heaven. It's what you already knew. But the difference is that least we are going to start doing it. How did you lay foundation in your life? Strong Christian, spiritual, biblical foundation. How? No, I didn't say by prayer. Eh? Simple. By doing what the Bible says. And I started, I just picked one. I say prayer. What did he say about prayer? You are the one that said I didn't say it, right? So you are the one that said it yourself. So you need to start praying. So my brother, look at your prayer life. If you have been the one maybe praying for you need to start from somewhere. Life, you don't start from the end. You start from the beginning. Now I know some of us will be still struggling with prayer. So what you need to do, you have to be practical about it. If you know that your life depends on this thing, what I'm telling you and what you already know, your life depends on it. You want to live your task? You want to struggle in life? Do you want to struggle in life? Praise the Lord. Apart from fear, all of you go to churches. You know how people are praying prayer without end and yet no result. Because when they were young, when they were like you, a lot of them did not lay good foundation. When they enter into marriage, they are now having children, they enter into crisis period, they now remember God, they start praying. What they ought to have done 15, 20 years ago. Please don't make that kind of mistake. I told myself I was not going, there are mistakes I will not make in life. Are you hearing me? Please lay a very solid, good spiritual foundation. Have a very solid relationship with God now. There are people that God tells them about the future. So why not you? Why not you? There are people that are not even yet married. God tells them the number of children they're going to have. So they are not as if they get married and are struggling with barrenness. See, there shall not be nothing barren in your land. It is that time that you want to now start struggling. You now start remember that the Bible says something like this. What ought to have been your life? What you need to you need to grow up with it. Are you hearing me? You know. So there are people that God tells them the detail. God can lay the outline of their lives for them. You be struggling. What do I do? What do I do? I've been out. I've left school for 6 years now. And there's nothing to do. You know. And no. Not a man that walked with God. Not a man that walked, or not a woman that walked with God. So, what did the Bible talk about the Word of God? What did he say about the Word of God? You can even go and read Colossians 3:16. Read Colossians 3:16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, so he said, let the word of Christ, what did he say he should do? What does he, what does he mean to dwell? To have an abide, a rest, yes, a place, or yes, dwell, all of you are correct. Permanent resident. All of you are correct. But how many of you are even serious with the Bible? To be even sincere. Apart from some of you, you want to go and you have a study, you know, you have a Bible study. You have a missing today, tomorrow. You now become very serious. Now looking for topic. No. He said it should live inside. So that is the person that is always with the Bible, always with the Word of God. You are always looking into it. You know, you are always studying, you are always meditating, you are meditating. Okay, look at Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 1. My brother, welcome. Please come very close. Please, nobody should sit at the back line. That's what I say. So you can bring your seat here. You can bring your seat there. Nobody sits at the back. Please. Okay.
Blessed is the man.
Okay.
Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. None standeth in the way of sinners, none sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
Okay, continue.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
In the after, he meditates only in the day. Okay, day and night. Okay.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of free.
My brother, it's okay. Let me, it's okay. No, can you see it? This is the, it's there, it's in your Bible. He said, this man is blessed who does not do all this thing in verse 1. But what does the man do? What does that woman do? What does he do? He said what? His delight, his joy, his delight is in the law. That's in the word of God. This man takes joy and pleasure in God's word. In God's word, he's always with the word of God. He's always studying the word. So that is the man that the word of God will come and that's the one that if you do it, imagine you do it for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. The word of God, you don't need to, it's not a crime or something. The word of God will be resident inside of you. It's just there. You know, it's just there. I can give you portions of the Bible, you know, without opening my Bible. Because I've been studying for years. Yes. When I was in student, I spent time studying. I told myself that I'll read my Bible more than my books. That was the mandate I gave myself as a person. In laying foundations in my life. So I'm saying, now look, I say, how do you lay a solid foundation in your life? How do you lay Christian spiritual foundation? By doing what the Bible wants. Simple. It's simple. According to Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. And look at what it tells. There are critical things about, look at what it says. As critical as prayer is, as critical as the word of God is. You know what the mandate I gave myself, that if I study my book for my academy, if I read my book, then I studied accounting. I studied accounting, and by the grace of God, I came out with a very good grade. So I say if I study my books for 4 hours, that means I'm going to study my Bible for 5 hours. I must study my Bible more than I study my other book. Because I know that I know where my future is going to come out from. My accounting certificate has nothing to do with my marriage. True or false? Can you give me children? Can you guarantee the safety, the health of my children? Can you give you long life? So that's why I say bodily exercise profited what? Little. And part of that bodily exercise is also your academics. All these other things you do. But it's a godliness what? Is profitable unto what? Unto all things, having promise for the life that now is and for the life that is to come. Godliness. So you can see the very root of your life. It's going to come from, if you don't define life to yourself from the beginning, you end up what? Running what we call the rat race or any name you can call it. You know? So if you don't define life from the beginning, I know that my life is anchored in God. It's anchored in God. I know that God is going to bless my life, bless my future, everything is in God. So I gave myself that mandate. You don't have to give yourself that mandate. I'm not saying you should go and be reading your Bible more than your academic, but I'm giving you an example. I gave myself that mandate and I was doing it. What else? I just had to cut off a lot of things, or maybe unwanted friends, or unwanted argument. So, a lot of, I had to cut off a lot of things, but I had to sit down to lay that foundation in my life. So as a student, I devoted myself to studying the Bible, to studying the Word. I also devoted myself to prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And it paid off. So I don't want to go into some of those. But now, number two, you've seen the Word of God, right? So what did the Bible say about the Word of God? What did it say? They are not good. What else? Just tell me what you know. Okay. Wait, when did he say you should meditate?
Yeah.
So how many of us are doing it? So these are the critical questions. You pause. Sometimes in life, when you are moving, you pause. You pause. Ask yourself some key questions. Key question, then you continue your journey. Don't just keep just be going one way. One way. There are some, you know, like if you are going from here to Oja now, there are some junctions you need to turn, right? But if you just follow one way, you just go and land anywhere. So life is not just one way. Sometimes pause and ask yourself some key questions. We have seen it from the Bible. I didn't tell you. You saw it in the Bible. How do you lay a very strong foundation, Christian, spiritual foundation in your life? How do you lay foundation in your life? Please, let's echo it once again. How do you lay foundation in your life? Spiritual foundation. Huh?
By doing what the Bible
says. Yes. Please, I want you to substitute Bible to the Word of God. All right. It's the same, but just put the Word of God. All right. What does the Bible... how do you lay solid foundation in your life? Simple. Simple. Don't complicate it. So, we've seen what the Bible told us about prayer. So, you now ask yourself, how am I doing it? I'm going to tell us the process so that I can help us. I'm going to help us, you know, how to climb the ladder, climb the spiritual ladder by stage, by stage, stage by stage. You don't just jump to the top of the ladder. You climb it, you know, those that thing they put in the ladder, they call it wrong. You climb it wrong by wrong. So now I've now come to the aspect of the Word now, the Word of God now. That's what did the Bible say about the Word of God? You all read it now. Say, you should meditate on it day and night. He said, let the word of Christ, what does he say? He said, it should dwell. It should take an abode, a residence inside of you. There was a man of God that came to a meeting one time. You know what he told them? He put some money down. How much? He said, is it $100, $1,000? I can't remember the amount. Somebody told me the story, so I didn't listen to him myself. I think it was Mike Mudor. He came to a meeting, and he asked all of them that, if you can give me Bible verses equal to the number of your age, I'll give you this money. Just Bible verses. Equal, so if you are 15, just give me 15 verses of the Bible. Bible verses. It's funny. Maybe some people are there, they are 50 years, and they've been Christian for 30 years. In that meeting. So it's a meeting. Or just like some of us have been Christian for like 3, 4, 5 years. You know, this Bible, that you say, meditate on it. What you are meditating upon day and night, that means you are not doing it. And you want to have foundation in God. It's not just possible. So, he said, give me Bible verses equal to the number of your age. They couldn't. I went somewhere to preach in Futa. A particular fellowship invited me in Futa to preach. And I went there with gifts. I put them, wrapped them, and I gave them the same question. Give me Bible verses equal to the number of your age. They couldn't. And I said, well, this is my gift. I took it back. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you try that with me, you are gone. I'll collect all the gifts, but the wine did not bring. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, how does it? He said, this is the Word. So, by the time you are meditating day and night, then the power that is resident in the Word of God will now begin to be transferred into your life. Then out of your life, it will begin to come out forth. So, anytime you are speaking about the Word, you are speaking life, you know. You are speaking life, you are speaking power. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, thank God, you are leaders. So, if you don't do these things, You know, he said, like, how does he talk about Psalm 133? You know, he said, behold, how good, don't worry. He said, behold, how good are now, you know, precious. Abi, you know, pleasant, precious. How good and how pleasant, you know, for people to dwell together and wait in unity. He said, like the precious ointment upon the head, you know, that runs down what? Upon the bed. Even Aaron's bed. Can you see from the head? From the head. It runs down upon the bed, even Aaron's bed, even down to the skirt of his garment. So it comes from the head, the oil comes from the head and it touches the other members. So you being the head, if the oil cannot touch your head, the oil of consecration, the oil of devotional life, devotion to God, then how do you think the members will carry it? If the fire is not ignited upon the head, it cannot touch down. Praise the Lord. He says, like the dew of Hermon. Or like the dew that descend upon the mountain of Zion. He said, there the Lord command his blessing, even life forevermore. So how can they carry this life? And I told us that in Christianity, it's not like all this secular life. What would transfer, what is communicated is life. He said, I'll take from the spirit that is upon you, Moses, and I'll put it upon Joshua. So it's not just giving Joshua an assignment. Joshua, come and lead these people. No, they were depositing Moses. The things required to take them to the promised land was inside Moses. So God took it from Moses and dropped it inside the life of Joshua. Then the things necessary for the Christian faith was inside Christ. Christ took it and put it in the lives of the disciples. And on, you keep transferring it. Are you hearing me? So this is some of the things you need to know. So you need to wake up. With how many of us read Christian books these days? Christian books on the law of books on the Holy Spirit, on the blood. Praise the Lord. On the Holy Spirit, on the blood, on so many spirit-filled books. We are so deep. But all of us are on Facebook. All of us are on WhatsApp. Even when we don't have money, we're on it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you need to help yourself. You need to help yourself. So it begins with you as a leader. As a leader. Praise the Lord. He said, a seed will serve him. And you are counted for a generation. Out of that one seed, God will produce a generation. Out of that one person, from the lineage of one man that serves God, like you now. If you wake up your divisional life the way it ought to be, you see a lot of people are going to carry that fire. You know, somebody has been with me, you know, like, we've been together. So he has traveled, he's in that place now, so in another state. So he told me he went somewhere to preach. So he now sent a message to me. So when I listened to him, I said, wow, this is solid. You know, I was telling him, and he said, well, I'm a product of your life. Your mentorship, he invited him to, you know, when he was preaching, The whole place was just rowdy. Because I could see, apart from the things he was saying were so much revelational, you know, but you could see the atmosphere. It's even a video. But he sent the audio to me. I said, you should send me the video. The whole people, you could hear scream from the place. There was so much life and so much presence in that place. And I said, well, this is awesome. He said, I'm a product of your life, your mentorship and your guidance. What am I telling you? So one person that catches fire, people that comes around you, they get automatically transformed. My younger sister, I'm proud of her anyway. Though some of you have met her gift. I'm proud of her. I have another one in UK. I have another younger sister in UK. She's doing even PhD or something, you know. So, but I'm proud of them anyway. Because they were all Muslims. I became a Christian. If I was a very cold Christian, let's say they got born again, they'll be a very cold Christian. You know, so I got born again, was a Muslim when I was on campus, became a Christian, and became a very serious Christian. Until as a student, I told you I was reading my Bible, I read my Bible, my prayer, like all of them were more than I was studying my academics, and I still came out with a 2-1. My CGPA was getting to 4 points, you know, so it's not that it affected my academics. The beauty of the New Testament is that you can give to God and you can give to Caesar. Caesar is Federal College, your school here, Federal College of Academics. You can give to further college of academic, and it does not stop you from giving to God. And giving to God does not stop you from giving, you know, your responsibility and your duty in God. You cannot affect your responsibility in FECA. I remember as a student, let me tell you practical things that will help you, you know. When I was in this, there are sometimes I can wake up from morning to night, I'm just excited about the word. He said, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of his God, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever that man does, he prosper. Now, he said his delight, verse 2 says his delight, his joy is in this world. I will wake up from morning to night. I'm not going out. From morning to night, I stand up, I am studying my Bible. I'm excited, revelation, pump this place, pumping out, I say, oh my father. The joy and everything from morning to night. Sometimes I'll study my Bible, 10 hours, I'm still studying my Bible. I know some of you read your books when your exam is critical, 7 hours, 6 hours, people are reading. You know, sometimes, you know, the joy. Praise the Lord. I'm coming to, I'm going to tell you the process, how, you know, you can build that life. I'm just trying to tell you, I didn't start that way, you know. Even though I was in school, I built it from somewhere. I'm just giving you an example that there are possibilities in God. So don't think it's strange. You know, it's doable. It can be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's doable. And God expects us to do it. God expects us to do it. So these are some of the things you need to start understanding. He says his delight is in the law, in the word of God. And in it, he meditates day and night. Praise the Lord. He said what? That man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Anywhere you go, he say you are a tree planted by the river. So can that tree, does it know dry season? Does it know dry season? A tree planted by the river. He say you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So that you are born, that you are even born again. Even you are even born again, you determine where you'll be planted. You can be born again and still planted in the wilderness and in the desert. Abi, people come and be pouring water on you for you to survive. Right? Right? For you to survive, they'll be pouring water on you. They'll be watering you. But who waters a tree planted by the rivers of by the rivers? Nobody. Amen. So he said, anyway, that man does not know economic recession. Say economy, that man doesn't know recession. Praise the Lord. So these are some of the things you need to know. So these are the things you can now transfer into what? Into the people's life. So if that's your life, sometimes you are not talking to them. Sometimes Bible, you just come for Bible study. That our Bible study today will be taken from, we are going to be studying the fruit of the Spirit. That's all. That's all you need to do, that the people will catch the fire. So the fruit of the Spirit, you talk, you know. It may not even be revelation, just like a discussion. But I tell you, they will carry what you impart into them the Spirit to study the word. A lot of people want to study the Bible, but they are struggling. Some things are holding them bound. You know, hope you know they it's a clash of power. The kingdom of God, not only kingdom of God, life in general is a clash of powers. It's power. That's why Jesus said, "Don't start preaching until I give you power," because it's a clash of power. You know, a lot of people have been held in bond. He said, "This woman that Satan has bound for 38 years, the woman wants to be free, but she cannot be free. The woman with the issue of blood, she wants to be free. People were there to help her, but she could not be free until Jesus had to set her free by the power of God." Sometimes they mention healing, they mention power, you know. So it's a clash of power. Life is a clash of power. A lot of people there, what they are doing, you say these ones, even the ladies who think they are misbehaving, in their heart they want to stop it. A lady met me when I was in school that, I don't really know how much, she used to see me, I used to see her. One day she came to me. She said, if you carry this life, you know, she just met me that this is her problem. That she was living with her boyfriend. They were sleeping together. He said, but that, sometimes she just see herself going after men. Say, like, look at so person called her. She went and slept with that person. She went and slept with this person. She just came and opened up my heart. But if you look at her now, she's living off campus with a boy. Both of them are working up. But you think she's happy with those things. But she was not. She came and she opened up to me that, look at, another one came again. This is my issue. I find myself going after men. You know, like that. You see them just opening up their hearts. People, they want to be free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So can you see the response? Why you must carry life and why you must carry substance? So I can't exhaust everything. I've told you as much as I can tell you. And what I've told you is very, very simple. It depends on what you begin doing from now. Nobody can lay hands on you to to waken your devotional life, you need to stand up and start doing something. It's by what you do. Praise the Lord. So you need to start study. If you are praying, if you are the one that your prayer life is 5 minutes, so tell yourself you are going to start praying for 15 minutes within the next 2-3 months. If you do it for like 15 minutes, you are going to jump it for like 30 minutes. If you're going to jump it from 30 minutes, I'm going to jump it. So like that, give yourself in the course of 6 months, I'm going to improve my prayer life. Praise the Lord. In the course of the next 3 months, I'm going to increase my study life. Me, I'm used to studying Bible for like 15-10 minutes. You know, I'm going to study for 30 minutes. Amen. Pray. I'm going to start learning to do it. So sometimes you cannot do it in your room. Take a prayer walk. It's God that if you are struggling to pray, if you take a prayer walk, you even pray more. Abi, you say, let me just take a prayer walk around. Look at this, your place. I'm sure your road should be safe if it's not too dark in the night. Look at this. Say, okay, let me walk from this gate. From this, there's no stopping from walking from, okay. From maybe walk from your hostel, take a stroll to this your gate. You are praying on the third road. You take a walk back. You are praying. Take a prayer walk. Those are things we did on campus. In praise the Lord. Even right now, those are things we do sometimes. So you take a prayer walk. Learn to do prayer walk. As you are walking, you are praying, you are talking to God. You are worshiping God. You are singing songs. You know, you take up a hymn and you sing it to God, a hymn of worship and adoration. Then if you study, if you go to class to study, you can thank God. If you cannot carry your Bible, if you cannot carry your Bible, you can take your Bible. You can have this, if you have this small pocket Bible, New Testament, or if you want to carry your Bible, thank God, ladies, your bag is big enough. Some of you carry bag, laptop, you hang bag. So carry your Bible. I'm going to study. Let me use the first 30 minutes to study. This is the way, some of the things I did at school too. Apart from even the normal study I do, I'm going to study for 2 hours. But 30 minutes, let me study my Bible. Those ways can help your study life so that it will not just be tied to what you do in your room. So you say, okay, let me study. I'm going to study for 2-3 hours. When I study for 1 hour, I'll take a prayer walk for 15 minutes. I'll just take a walk around where people will not disturb you. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. Those that can speak in tongues, you speak in tongues. If you are not speaking in tongues, you speak in your understanding. You pray to God in your understanding. So you say, okay, let me read. Every 1 hour I read, I pray for 15 minutes. So you can make it active. You can make it, you can bring innovation to prayer and even to study. So you can say, okay, if I read for 2 hours, I'll read my Bible for 30 minutes and I'll continue my reading. So these are things you can do to help your devotional life. It is by the time your own devotional life is okay, then you can now begin to impact the lives of the members and the people. Can now begin to impact Jesus and everything. Praise the Lord. I don't know if my message is clear. It's clear. For the sake, those of you that were not here, I'll give them a testimony of a lady that was struggling with her prayer life and her study life. I'll repeat it. For those of you that came, so when she met me, so this was the time I just left school. I just graduated from school, you know. I just graduated from school with a lot of, with so much passionate fire. And I spoke to the lady about prayer. I spoke to her about prayer and about the study of the word. The next day she left me. She came by and said she spent 9 hours divided between prayer and study. 5 hours to pray or 4 hours to pray and the other 4 hours for study. You know, so people you talk to, they will carry the fire. At least. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at my office now. Look at my office where I work. I have a particular colleague. I have a particular colleague that I told him when he came, I told him about the life of the Rechabites. Please write it, Jeremiah 35. You can go and read it. Jeremiah chapter 35, the life of the Rechabites. Now, I'm coming to the assignment I'm going to give you in Jesus here. The Rechabites. The Rechabites. And how many of us have? Okay, let me not assume. Sorry, I'll read it. I'll give you the assignment. I'm done with what I want to tell you. The Rechabites. I want to read the story of the Rechabites. Are we there? The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazziniah, his brother and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hannah, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. Then I said before the sons of the house of Rechabite, bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, drink wine. Jeremiah was a prophet. He brought them into the house of God. He said, drink wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonabah, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. This generation, nobody will drink wine in this generation. Okay. Verse 7. You shall not build a house. You shall not sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are a stranger. You see, you are not going to build houses. You are not going to be farming. You know, the occupation of those days is farming. You are not even going to farm. So that you can live many days in the land you are going to inherit. You are going to be a stranger in the land. So just like you have villages. In your village, you are still a stranger. That's what he's saying. Okay, continue. Thus, he says, so we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, our daughters, not to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. He said, but it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for the fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, look at that thing touched God. You know, there are some times that God cries on the throne. The Bible may not have recorded it, but I won't be surprised if he put tears to his eyes. Look at what he said. Now, he said, verse 12. So then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, so says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my word, says the Lord. This was God trying to speak to a nation for thousands of years. They were not listening. This is God, the maker of heaven and earth. The one that made it. He said he has been trying to talk to Israel. His people, Israel will not listen. One time he stayed in Jeremiah for 33 years. I kept sending prophets to Israel. Every blessed day, rising early and talking to Israel. Israel will have none of me. Israel will not listen. But he said, look at a man talking to people and look at how they are obeying him. Okay, let's continue the reading. You know, I'll read verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, so says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words? What did I say? Sorry, please pause. If I continue verse 14, what did I say? How do you lay a strong foundation in your life, in God? How do you lay a foundation in God? By what the God will say. So when you are seeing now, and all of us have looked at just some few aspects of what the word of God says. Now, I want you to relate your life with the life of the Rechabite. Don't just be looking at Israel. He said, God has been speaking to us in this age and in this generation, and we too are not listening. Right? He said, meditate on it day and night. He said, let it have a permanent residence in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. He said, pray without ceasing. He said, pray, but we say we will not pray. Right? So relate it to your own life too as we continue the reading. Then verse 14. Then God, the Lord continued. The word of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his son not to drink wine, are performed. For to this day they drink none and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophet, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn down everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father. This father was the gap between them and the father. This was not the immediate father. This was maybe generations later. Years later. He says, surely, verse 16, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard, and I have called to them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabite, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. So the promise he gave to Rahab. What touched God in this portion of the Bible? What touched him? What was it that touched God's heart? What touched him? What touched him? Praise the Lord. So please, they think that, you know, go and start obeying them. Let's stop paying lip service to God. Look at how he touched it. You know, he tempted them. If you have said somebody like ordinary member, like my brother Abi, like me and your ordinary member, he didn't say ordinary member, he sent the prophet and the foremost prophet in Israel. If you have sent an ordinary person, it's okay. He sent a prophet, a foremost prophet. Not only sent, he now took them to the God's house. Abi? So those of them that were not too serious, just like those the Gideon, he said, take them to the river, tell them to drink water, and he disqualified some people. He brought them to God's house, the prophet, the foremost prophet in the land. Then to God's own house, he now gave them wine. Anything they give in God's house, can it be wrong? Can it be wrong? Those men, they still backed down. Can you see? They say, no, we cannot take wine here. Praise the Lord. So I want you to see how determined, you know, the kind of heart that they have. So this is what I'm coming to tell you. So there are traditions you must pass down. So that's the story I want to give you about this, the colleague I have in my office. When he came, I read this story to him. And I told him, as a family, there must be a tradition you must hand over to your children. So that long after you have gone, your children will hand it over to what? Their other children. So I now told him about the Bible, studying the word. Where you can get the whole family, all of you study the word. Even your children is going to boarding school. He knows that depending on the kind of level of assignment you are going to give them, that in this family, all of us studied our Bible. Like in my house, we studied our Bible twice in a year. So if you're going to do it once in a year, anyhow you want to do it, but we study the Bible. So even if my child is in a boarding house, he knows that this is our family lineage. This is a family tradition. So he's going to be doing it. So if he's going to be studying like New Testament, if he cannot comprehend the Old Testament very well, New Testament, that we have a family tradition. That in this family, every 3 months, we study the New Testament. Every 3 months, so 4 times in a year, we read the New Testament too. It's a family tradition. So when you go to boarding house, it's not because you are my son, I send you money. You know, but because you are part of the spiritual lineage in this house. So I'm not sending to school because it's, you know, like that. So it's a family tradition that you must hand over to your children, to my daughter, and she passed it to their own children, that we study the word. We study the word. So I told him, he began with his family, they started doing it. So every night, his little young children, they do it. Since that day, every blessed night, they gather as a family, they study the Bible, all of them. You know, he has, one of his daughter is 14, 12, 9, 8, and, you know, 5, like that. All of them. You know, so what a wonderful experience in 2013. After I shared him that there must be a transfer, there must be something you pass down to your children. You know, like this, there must be a lineage. No, so that, you know, not the way we are disconnected from our parents. Let's start something in our day. So I told him. So they began doing it. So they study. They do this Bible we do. They follow us to study the Bible, 7 chapters, they do it. But you don't have to do 7 chapters, what you can do. So I told him. So he started doing it. So, but I've made up my own mind that my children, all of them, at a young age, they can read, they'll start studying their Bible. Especially the New Testament, they will begin with it. And every, like, maybe I'll start with them 6 months when they are younger. Every 6 months, they must read their New Testament too. It's so easy to. They must study their New Testament every 6 months. So even when they go to school, every time they go to school, they must study their Bible too. You know? So we're going to create a family relationship along that line. Praise the Lord. So let me come to leadership now. You are a leadership for. Then there are things we'll be reading. There are some books. And they are going to school. There are books at their level. I give them. You read these books and you come. So these are family lineage. You read a book and you must read your New Testament through. You read a book every time. So 3 times in a year. So that means they have 3 times to read their New Testament through, and they have books, Christian books that are adapted to their age that I'm going to give them. So now let me come to leadership like this. See, there will be a danger of handing over leadership to a people, maybe in time to come that all that you have built, they will destroy it. I've seen some fellowship collapse in some schools. If your leadership is 1 year, you're going to sit down and tell yourself, in that 1 year, praise the Lord, in that 1 year, all of you that are in leadership must tax yourself, you must finish your Bible. Every, so that as you are incorporating a new set of leaders, say, part of the leadership, then there are books you must read. Every leader must read it. So you want to get those books, you sit down amongst yourself and put your heads together and talk to yourself, put your heads together and as a team and sit down and determine if you are going to read books on the Holy Spirit or things that has to do with on the blood or deal with other aspects of the faith, you know, or about working with God, anything. There are so many books there that there are books you must read. So if you have like, I know you do 10 by 10, you do 3 terms, Abby? You do 3 sessions, Abby? 2 sessions, you do 2 sessions. So there are books, you are going to read 1 book or 2 books in a session. Everybody in the leadership must read it. It's only in Christianity who do things anyhow. In my office where I work, there are some courses, apart from my work, they give us some courses. Like sometimes they give about 4 courses you must do. And it's online. All of us do it and we do it. Every 6 months. You know, there are some time we do up to 6, 7, sometimes 3, 4. We do all those courses, all of us sit down and do it. Then I go for training. I will go for training very well. Sometimes I go to Lagos, I go to Ibadan, I go to Elisha for training. And we go to training from morning to night. But only in Christianity we do things anyhow. You just run the new set of leaders now, you just do things anyhow as everybody do anything in life. It's not like that. There must be order, there must be discipline. I'm talking about spiritual order. And I'm talking about spiritual discipline. Every one of you must read your Bible. So if you are not going to read the whole Bible, if every session, you must read your news. If you have like a session, maybe some month, every 2 academic session, you know, you must practice. If you cannot read your whole Bible through, depending on your capacity, in a year, in your leadership year, you say, an assignment, what stops you from reading your Bible through? In your leadership year. Or, you say, okay, if in the New Testament, you are going to read it 6 times. It's a commitment you must have. Everybody, of course, in a group, everybody must not do it, but some people must take it upon themselves to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then there are books you must read. You must keep it down in the fellowship. You keep it. So if the next set of leaders come, they want to read that same book or they want to read other books, everybody must read it. So if I have about 3 or 4 set of books, if you want books, I can buy it for you. So you just give me the title, I can buy it for you guys. So if you want books that you want to add, these are JCCL books or library or something, you have those books. Every set of leaders, if it's on evangelism, there are those about prayer, there are those about a lot of things. You know, you want to read it, you know, touching the nations, winning your campuses for God. Read some of these books. Then you can now, as I'm reading one, another person is reading one, and you have a time duration, you finish it. There must be discipline. Except you are not serious at all. But if you want to know that this thing is serious, you know, whatever you do today will determine the rest of your life tomorrow. How committed and how faithful you are today. He that is faithful in the little things will be faithful what? God will give you a bigger responsibility outside. God will give you a bigger commitment tomorrow. He that is faithful in the little things will be faithful in what? In bigger things to come. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So there must be order. There must be a spiritual order, you know. There must be a measure of spiritual discipline. And there must be a heritage. Yes, let me call it a divine heritage you must transfer to the next generation that you come. You know, this is what we have done. This is what we have done. We are transferring to you. And you must transfer it to the next set of leaders that is coming. Are you hearing me? So sit down. If you cannot do the whole Bible, even in the New Testament, look at the joy. Okay, let's read the New Testament in the next 2 months, all of us. Let's start from the book of Matthew. Let's take it to Revelation. You know, you read it. When you have some meetings like this, you interact based on it, you know. You have some certain meetings, you interact based on them. Not only in JCCF, some of you that are fellowship leaders, you know, you have all the powers in the fellowship. Yes, because you can influence the other leaders around you. Even as a fellowship, you can call your key leaders in fellowship, your fellowship leaders, and you call them together and you give this assignment. The one that love God will do it. Are you hearing me? Even right in your fellowship, you do it. You create good, you do it so that all of you are studying together. All of you are studying. You're asking questions. You are learning together. You are learning to build and to grow together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just gave you that aspect of reading, you know, and that aspect of a book. Then on individual level, you can go to, you can create a prayer partner. If somebody you can maybe come to read, if it's a reading partner that is a Christian that you read together. In the course of reading together, you can take out some time to pray together. So you can incorporate it into your reading pattern. Maybe 15 minutes there, 15 minutes as you come to pray, you pray. Like in my office now, I have a colleague. We pray together in the office. We pray together and we do some major study together like that. So when we come together during, you know, in the afternoon, we call ourselves. We call one tea room. Now nobody comes there. We go there and we pray together even in the office. So you can do it even on your campuses too. So this is how you can begin to learn to build, you know, to build your life. We study together. We speak. All we do, we speak the word of God together. We speak it together. So, and in the course of speaking the word of God together, you know, we are learning a lot of things in the world, you know, like that. So even in the office, I do it. Praise the Lord. So you can learn to do it to some of your colleagues that you meet together. If you have a roommate too, you can do it together. If your room is not too, if it's, you know, sometimes it can drag your prayer life. The two of you can take a stroll. Just take a stroll for 15, 20 minutes and take a prayer walk together. Take a prayer walk together. So once you are done, when you are done, the other person can encourage you. Once the other person is down, you can encourage the other person. This is how you build you put a kind of a creativity in your spiritual life. Praise the Lord. So let me take your one or two questions.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Nation on your heart.
Oh Lord, we ask for the